The Lord be with you.
And your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "God forbid, Lord, no such thing will ever happen to you." He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct." The Gospel of the Lord. You may remember in last week's gospel that Peter won the final round of Jeopardy. You remember that? Jesus asked a question, Peter answered it correctly. Now, he didn't put it in the form of a question, but he did have the correct answer. And so what did Jesus say? "You are the rock upon which I'm going to build the church. You are Peter. I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. What you loose on earth will be loosed on earth, what you loose in heaven will be loosed in heaven." He must have been flying high. Fast forward to this week's gospel, and how does Jesus refer to Peter? "Get behind me, Satan." Wow, from one week to another, huge differences. What was it that Peter was doing in today's gospel that he shouldn't have done? He was trying to correct Jesus. Here he was trying to say to Jesus, "You don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to take care of you. Don't worry." He tried to correct Jesus. And Jesus said, no, you don't get it, Peter. That's what human beings like to do, want to do, correct God. But no, that's not right. And if you remember at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, public ministry, Satan himself tried to correct Jesus. After 40 days, 40 nights, Satan tried to get in there and say, "You don't want to do the will of the Father. This is what you want. That's what you want. Come on, I'm going to correct you." And Jesus said, "No, I'm going to do the will of God." And again throughout his ministry, he comes up against the Pharisees, the scribes, the Sadducees, the priests, all of whom want to correct Jesus because why? They don't like what he's doing. They don't want to be told, if you want to be powerful in the kingdom of God, you've got to let go of power. If you want to make change in the world, you got to let God do it, not depend on yourself. If you really want to be at the top of the game in terms of ministry, you can't lord it over anyone. You got to be willing to wash the feet of your enemies. You got to be willing to be persecuted. And that certainly was the case for Jeremiah and all the prophets for the most part. Jeremiah says in the first reading, "You duped me, O Lord. You seduced me." And of course, what he means is once I got a taste of your word, I couldn't let go. I wanted to keep tasting it and doing it, even though it brought Jeremiah great suffering. He was willing to continue to do what God wanted him to do, although I'm sure Jeremiah too tried to correct God and say, "Now, God, if you only did it this way, things would work out well." But that's not what he was called to do as a prophet. He was called to say the word of God, not his own way of thinking, his own way of doing. And Paul himself says, rather than lording it over others, we're called to make of our bodies a sacrifice. And if you think of the sacrifices that were placed on the altar in Jerusalem, they were bloody, they were burnt. It was quite a scene. But that's the image Paul gives us. If you want to be great in the kingdom, you have to make a sacrifice of yourself. You have to do the will of God. Or as Jesus says in the gospel, you have to carry your cross. Do we carry our crosses? Or do we try to correct Jesus? Now, Lord, if you only healed so-and-so, all would be well. Or, Lord, if I could only find a job, all would be well. Or whatever. Do we try to tell God his business, like Peter, like Satan, like the Pharisees, like the priests? Do we try to correct God? And why do we do that? Well, like Adam and Eve, we want it our way. We want it our way. We don't want to suffer. We don't think we should suffer. We think that if we do all the things we Catholics are supposed to do, the road should be nice and smooth. But that's not what Jesus says, and that's not what Jesus experienced. Again, if we want the model of what we're talking about here, it's Jesus himself, not the apostles, not the disciples, not the prophets, Jesus himself, who had nowhere to lay his head, who depended upon the hospitality of others, who didn't sit behind a desk all day long telling other people what to do, correcting them, but rather he walked among the people. And I could just imagine what his cloak must have looked like after a 5-mile hike, what his feet must have looked like. And yet he did that to show us, if we want to be faithful disciples, then we too have to follow him, no matter where it takes us, no matter what it causes us. Now, in this day and age, we have the pandemic. We worry about that. We worry about an economic meltdown. We're focusing on an election that comes every 4 years, and it's if it was the most important election of all time. When we Christians know fully well that what happened 2,000 years ago is the most important thing that ever happened, and we're supposed to be living what Jesus tells us to live each and every day, to be willing to take up our cross and follow him, not to worry about my comfort, what I'd like to do, what I'd like to see done politically or economically, not what I want for myself, a comfortable life, money, whatever, so I can do what I want to do. But rather, I'm supposed to be saying, Lord, whatever you want of me, I will do. But that also means that I have to make choices so that I'm not living a life that is in contrast to the life that Jesus lived, a life of simplicity, a poor life, a life that was always focused on the needs of other people. But I suppose, like everyone else, I have a tendency to want to correct God. Sure, God, this is what I want. That's not what I want. How about doing this? Show me a sign, whatever. And yet God has given us everything we need so that we can be faithful. He certainly gave everything to Peter. And Peter, as we know later on, was also unfaithful when he denied Jesus 3 times. So like Peter, we are weak people, and yet, because we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, because we have the gifts of God in our lives, we are able to be another Christ in the world, to carry the cross that God gives us or that we go out and find, but to do it because we know that's really the only way of living our lives in fidelity to Jesus Christ, difficult as it may be. Now, that's not the whole picture, of course, because again, last week, Peter's made the head of the church, the community of believers. We are here today as a community of believers. We can't do what we're supposed to do alone, but we need to depend on one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to challenge one another. We need to correct one another so that we can be more faithful in following the Lord. And of course, just as Jesus constantly went out to proclaim the kingdom of God, the good news of salvation, we're supposed to be doing the same thing. Not sitting around comfortably, but looking and seeing, where do I need to go today in order to proclaim the gospel, to tell other people about Jesus Christ, to tell other people that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's everything. He's the world, the universe, eternal life. He's everything. That's the good news that we have heard, and that's the good news we're called to go out and preach. So as always, we need to keep looking at ourselves, what we're doing, what we're not doing, hold our feet to the fire, ask ourselves, am I too comfortable? Am I looking at a computer screen too much? Am I worried about what's going to happen to me? Or am I saying, no, my real job is to do the work of God, which is to go forward and proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And every one of us is called to do that, and every one of us has been equipped to do that, empowered to do that through the many gifts of the Holy Spirit. So here we are, we're listening to the word of God. We're going to receive his very flesh and blood. Those are gifts given to us so that we can go out into the world and be the gift that we were created to be for other people. So as you go forth this week, I encourage you again to think about how you are living your life. What about that cross? How do we relate to the Lord? Do we give him thanks no matter what's happening? Do we try to correct him as Peter did? What is it in our lives that we need to stir up and change so that we can be more faithful in following him? So again, that's for all of us, for me, for you, for our bishop, for the Pope, to always look at how God has touched us, how he has redeemed us, so that we can be truly grateful disciples, always going forth to proclaim that gospel message and bring other people to Jesus as his disciples.